to the Be Inspired with Michelle Radio. Welcome to the Be Inspired with Michelle G Show. I'm your host, Michelle G. It's time for another look at the community show. But before we get started, if you would like to call in with your questions or comments, that number is 1-929-477-2554. Again, that number is 1-929-477-2554. The show tonight is going to be a look at the Myrtle Beach community, which is the community where I live. I have one of the leaders of the community that goes above and beyond for our youth and the community in general. I have joining me tonight Doc Moore, and I'll bring him on in just a few minutes. Doc Moore is a graduate of Myrtle Beach High School, class of 94. He received a BA in political science from Newberry College and an MA in community and agency counseling from Winthrop University. He is a proud product of a single mother and grandmother household and the Booker T. Washington community. Coach Moore is employed by the city of Myrtle Beach and serves as the recreation supervisor for the Mary C. Canty Recreation Center. Coach Doc is also the president of the Community Action Network. He created the network to provide community service and positive leadership for youth and young adults. The network also purchases football cleats and tennis shoes for youth in the community that cannot afford them. The mission of his network is to serve with a purpose, lead by example, guide, and listen to our youth. His personal motto, there are dreamers and there are achievers. The difference between the two is action. Every day that you are blessed to see another day is an opportunity to get better. Many people believe that a woman can't raise a man to be a man. My mother and grandmother instilled values in me that most men don't have. They taught me the importance of being honest, instilled in me the value of working hard, and at everything you do, developed the art of not being selfish, and made me understand the true value of education and the importance of always learning from your personal mistakes. We're going to bring him on because he is very prompt, just messing out. Hello.
Good evening. How we doing?
Hello, Coach Doc.
Yes, ma'am. How we doing?
I'm good. I looked and I saw you pop up on the on my studio screen. I said, "Oh, he is prompt.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
He is prompt and on time." Is it okay if I call you Doc?
That's fine.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm going to jump right in because I've really been waiting to have this conversation with you because I've noticed all the work that you do within the community for years. And I remember even when my kids were small and they were at the rec center that you work at, and I remember even then seeing the stuff that you were doing in the community. I wanted to begin by asking you what first started your interest in working with the youth.
Well, I guess I actually started back when I was in high school. And we had a program where the football players would go to the school and mentor the kids, eat lunch with them, and just talk to them. And it just stayed with me from there.
And seeing everything, I know what drives that passion. Because you know how some people start off in something and then they'll eventually fizzle out? You have kept that momentum, like, for years. What is it that drives your passion?
Well, for me, I learned earlier that, you know, my purpose in life was to serve. So that's always been my driving force. And growing up in the Myrtle Beach area and always having positive people around me in some aspect and being able to learn from those negative people, you learn something from them as well. And then, of course, you know, growing up, single-parent household, raised by my grandmother and mother, you know, who always taught me, you know, support and do the right thing. And anytime you get the opportunity, always give back.
And see, that when I read your bio, that stuck out for me because I'm a single mother. And I like the part where you said that, you know, many people believe that a woman can't raise a man to be a man. And
right.
That stuck with me because I have something that I say that I now, because I read your bio, I now have to change the way I've been saying, because, you know, there's so much power in our words. because I always say I'm a woman trying to raise a man, and I'll say I can teach you how to do this, but I can't teach you how to be a man. And when I read your bio, it hit me because I've been fighting against myself, honestly, with my words the whole time.
Right.
Does that make sense? I've been saying it. I've been defeating myself, basically. And that stuck out to me when I read your bio because, and it's so powerful because a lot of women, single parents, single mothers, they don't realize they are, even though they're women, they are capable of raising a man to be respectful, to do the right thing, you know, and all those things. And that really stuck out to me when when I read your bio. Now, let's talk about some of the work that you do with the youth. Now, I want you to talk first, before we get into more detail, talk a little bit more about the organization that you created, the network that you created. Can you talk and tell the listeners more about that and some of the things that it entails?
Yes, ma'am. Basically, the Community Action Network really came about when I first started working for the city. We were able to do a lot of different community service programs for people with a variety of different charges. And then as the years went on, during the process of people having more serious charges and younger kids having more serious charges, they had to be screened before we could do it. And I didn't want to go through that process. I wanted to give everybody equal opportunity. So basically just started doing my own thing. And we reached out to different agencies, DJJ, social services, the high schools, and just parents that were having issues with their kids, just to be able to provide them with some services. If they had community services, being able to take care of that. And when I say community service, when they come to our network, you know, we're not inside playing games or anything like that. They're actually doing work. It's physical. They're getting outside. They're picking up trash in the community.
Yes.
They're going to senior houses, helping rake leaves, cutting grass. So they're actually doing stuff and giving back to the community. And, you know, the main thing was just to be able to provide them with that service and just to get back to the value of hard work.
And I believe that that's wonderful. And for those who are listening out there, this Doc is a leader in the same community, like I said in the beginning, that I live in. And when he say that he makes them work, I have seen them picking up trash. I've seen them, even when he does conditioning with them, I've seen him, and he makes them go hard. And so I can really vouch for that because I see the work. This is not just, you know, just someone who says that. I can see the work, and I see it right here in my own community. What I wanted to talk about next is what are some of the I'm going to see how I want to phrase this. I think that the thing, before I get deeper into that, I think the thing that I notice most about you that you know, is that not only being, you know, you're not always in the limelight. You're not always in the forefront, but you have a very humble spirit. And you do what you do because of your heart, and you can tell by what you do that you know, and what you do for the youth in the community, you can tell you it's coming from a pure place in your heart. And I believe that you should be commended for that. Because not everybody, you know, you have a lot of people now, community leaders, they have some kind of a political agenda, and, you know, they want to get their faces out there. But you don't, it doesn't matter to you whether, you know, your face is here, your face is there. That's not what you're concerned about. You're humbled, and you're concerned about, you truly are from your heart concerned about our youth and our community. And I just wanted to bring that out and put it on the air nationally that you should be commended for that. Because whether you know it or not, people do watch and they see. And I've known it for years. Even when you were working with my children, I noticed that your spirit is just humble. And in today's society where everybody wants to be out front, that's rare. That's rare to find that. Now, I'm going to jump in from that to because the hour will go by real fast, real fast. The generation that we're dealing with today, is different from, say, my generation and your generation, because I know I'm older than you are, but the generation is different. How important do you think with this generation is?
Well, I think a lot of that when we say the generation is different, and mm-hmm. in perspective, the generation is not different. The only difference okay. in most cases is the household. You know, everything starts at home.
Yeah.
And so many of our kids are already in bad situations that that's all you know is
yeah.
something negative. You know, you can't see anything positive. Compared
yeah.
to when we came along, you know, a lot of times if it was a single parent household, you know, that mother always did her best and also provided and made sure that her kids were taken care of. Nowadays,
yeah.
there's so many different aspects. And not to harp on anything, but, you know, even with the fathers, you know, I get tired of hearing,
yeah.
that's my baby daddy. That kills me, you know, because so many males, actually, you know, in our race, you know, don't
yeah.
take care of responsibility or they're either locked up. And, you know, that's the major impact. So when you talk
yeah,
about the kids, it starts at home.
Yeah.
It's the parents. You know,
true.
Dad is nowhere around, can't be found. If he do come around, he don't spend any time with the kid. That's not the kids, you know. It's the adults. And there's going to be situations where a kid may have a positive environment and two-parent household. It still goes straight. You know, that happens. But
yeah.
if you look at the majority of the situations, the kids don't. And that's the biggest
You're
impact.
Right. You're right. And I believe that that's where leaders like you play a great role, because you are consistent. And they see. And they know, okay, if Coach Doc say he going to do this, he going to do that. You know what I mean? Because a lot of them have had where they were promised one thing and then it fell through. Or the males, and not like you said, not to harp on anything, but the male figure in their life said one thing but did another and let them down. So when they have a consistent person in their life, it really makes a difference. It really makes a big difference for them. A lot of people, and for me, I'm gonna jump in this. I was gonna jump into something else, but I want to ask you this: for a single mother. Because you came up in a household with your mother and your grandmother, for a single mother, even a single mother, raising a child on their own. What advice would you give them when you are trying to do, you know, the best that you can do, you know, you're trying to provide what you can provide, and the child just seems to just be a buck against you with no matter what you do, they just seem to, you know. The buck against you. Is there
right,
anything
right.
that you can tell, you know, a parent that's going through that?
I mean, I think the main thing is just to continue to be positive. And on top of being positive, you got to get them involved, whether it's academically or in some type of sport, commit
yeah.
to it. Because, I mean, so many kids nowadays, they'll take part in a sport, then halfway through, it gets a little tough and they want to quit. And either mom or dad supports that. You know, quitting is not an option. You start it, you need to finish it. Because, you know, if you go through and you allow him to quit at everything, then for the rest of his life, whatever he go through, whenever things get tough or don't go his way, he's going to quit. And, you know, there's no need for that.
Truly.
Everybody's
truly.
Been blessed
and
with different
know,
talents. Everybody
exactly.
has, you know, different hobbies. So, you know, just find what they love to do. And whatever they're doing, keep pushing them through it, and don't allow quitting to be an option.
Absolutely. That's wonderful advice. Now, going from that, we're going to talk about community a little bit. When you look at the community, what is it? Because I know you look at it through different eyes, because you know how everybody is. You know, you hear media and you hear different things, and there are things that go on and, you know, in the world, but I believe that those things go on everywhere. Just some places it's just not magnified, you know. So, you know, and I believe it goes on everywhere. But when you look at the community, what is it that you see in the community because, I mean, you know, you're out there, you're in it. What is it that you see in the community that a lot of people don't see? They have a perception of it, but they don't really know because they're not in the community. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. I guess one of the things, you know, when people talk about the community, they want to talk about all the negative. And there's mm-hmm. so many different positive things that actually take place in the community that you never get a chance to hear about it. Another aspect
exactly.
is just the history of the community and understanding that in the community, you know, you have doctors, you have lawyers, you have military personnel, you have retired law enforcement. There's so many different positive things and positive people in the community that a lot of times the negative tends to overshadow all of that. And that's sad because, once again, the community is basically the heart of Myrtle Beach. And if you look deep into the mm-hmm. history, you know, there's so many different avenues in which people in the community have provided for other people, same race and outside of the race. But the community history is a lot more, way more than drug dealing and walking around with saggy pants and all that nonsense. There's a lot of rich history in the community. And we have to learn to embrace that.
Yes, and I know because there's a lot of community stuff that goes on, and I see it. And you know, for the listeners, could you, you know, tell them some of the good things about what's going on, even, you know, about what's going on, or even touch on a little bit of history, something from history that they may not have known about this community.
Actually, there is a Museum of African-American History that's located in historic Myrtle Beach Color School that has so much information in there, you will be surprised. I always say it's the only museum in the Grand Square that will leave you saying, wow, I did not know that. So if you get the opportunity, take your kids, grandkids, your spouse, whoever, and go visit the Museum of African-American History. You will be truly surprised. And as far as programs, I think within the city of Myrtle Beach, we're truly blessed to be able to have four different recreation centers, especially within our community. There's two within walking distance that have pools, mm-hmm. basketball courts, weight rooms, banquet halls, and each center provides so many different programs that sometimes you do a program and people don't just sign up for it. Centers have after-school programs. They have summer camps, places for the kids to go, things for the kids to do. During the summertime, there's basketball leagues for teens and youth, flag football leagues, summer tennis, free swim lessons. I mean, there's so many different things to do that is truly amazing.
And see, these are things that a lot of people don't, you know, like you said, because they, you know, they focus on the negative and they don't take the time out to realize that all these things are right here. They're right here. You just, you know, you just don't take the time to find out or take the time to get involved, with, you know, what's going on in the community and the way to make the community grow. And I feel the way to make the community grow and get better is getting involved, in what's going on. Don't just complain about it, but do something about it. Get involved. Get involved with the positive things so that those positive things are more highlighted than the negative. I know that you have a lot of ideas. And, you know, just because of just your basic, you know, just because of what you do. I read in your bio, and I don't know how you find the time to do all this. I guess each sport has a different season or something, but you coach youth football, high school football, wrestling, and sports training. I don't know how you do all that, but is it because there's different each sport has a different season? I don't know how you operate that. How are you able to do all those things, plus everything else that you do?
Well, So the wrestling was just is just a part of the sports training that, you know, comes with the territory. But, you know, the main sports is for me right now, it would be football. So, you know, you have football during the summertime, then you have other activities, you know, during the fall time. So, and you make time for what you want to do. And, it, you know, it's a big bonus when you love what you're doing. So it makes it easy.
That is absolutely true. And I've, as I get older, I'm finding out that I've had to, you know, let some things go because, you know, I was doing it just to be doing it, you know,
right.
And that wasn't serving any purpose. I guess it comes with age and wisdom. You just, you know, and a lot of times we do that. We do things just to be doing them so we can say we did it. And so what purpose did you serve in that? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like you said, if you love what you do, and that's why I'm leaning, you know, I'm trying to more now do things that I love to do. This poem, I'm going to get back into the questions in a minute, but the poem, I didn't read it in the beginning for a reason. I love this poem, and I'm going to read it to the listeners, and I'm going to ask you a question about it in a few after I finish. The poem is To Be a Man. When you can rise above the fears to conquer every challenge that comes, to those who dare to climb the highest heights, when you can keep on keeping up each time you've failed or been knocked down, when you can see your greatest strength lies in your faithfulness and gentleness, your greatest courage is admitting your faults and with God's help strive to overcome them. When you can accept responsibility for resolving all your hurts and break the chain from the generation past, when you can know and show a father's love and feel with all your heart, when you can love yourself, others, and God more than earthly gain or fame and recognition, you will, my son, be then a man. And indeed, a great man at that. Okay, that's a powerful poem, and I know you put this with it for a reason. What exactly does this poem mean to you?
I guess for me, the main thing would just be, you know, breaking cycles. I think when you talk about our community, so many people are in a cycle. Whether it be male or female, for example, I know some families that the grandfather went to prison, the dad went to prison, the great-great-grandfather went to prison. So it's about breaking the cycle. Same thing with either drug addiction, alcohol addiction. It's just about breaking cycles. Because so many times within the community, people are in cycles, and it's the whole family. And, you know, someone has to be willing to say, hey, you know, enough is enough. It's time to stop making excuses, and I'm going to break this cycle. And hopefully if you break the cycle, then the generation before or after may also break that cycle. And, you know, it's just about lifting each other up.
That is really powerful. I love it because in all of that, what you were saying, it's right. It is a lot of cycles. And what I love about this poem is that a lot of it when, you know, certain parts of it, when it says, like, you know, when you can love and feel with all your heart and when you can love yourself and others, a lot of times, and if I'm wrong, correct me, sometimes men are taught to, it's not great to show your emotions. It's, you know, you bottle all that up. You're not a man if you shed a tear or stuff like that. And I think with this poem, when it says that, you know, when you love with all your heart, you know, when you feel, when you let yourself feel, that is a lot to me because in my life and just even with my son, he thinks it's the weakest thing if a guy cries. And I try to explain to him it's a human emotion. You know, you don't have to, you know, weep all the time. You know what I mean? You don't have to be weeping all the time, you know. But sometimes you're going to feel hurt. And it's okay, even if you don't want to, you know, it's okay, even if you don't want to cry in front of me. you get somewhere, but bottling all that emotion up and never dealing with it, that's not a good thing. And a lot of our men are taught that they can't show no emotion because it makes them weak. But I believe the strongest man is one that can show his emotion, one that, you know, that's a man to me, one that don't have a problem showing their emotions. But a lot of times, you know, they have in their minds, like I said, I can speak for my son. He has in his mind that, you know, if he cries, he weak. You know, and I can know and look in his face and tell something hurts him, but he'll bottle it up. And then it turns into anger.
Right.
And then it comes out in the wrong way. It comes out in the wrong way. And I don't know if this is a question that can be answered, but, you know, as a man, what would you say, you know, concerning that? Concerning dealing with your emotions.
I mean, in the big picture, we're all human. And, you know, if you don't have any feelings, then you're a monster. And,
wow.
You know, there's really no other way to look at it, because you're going to go through things in life that at some point you're going to share a tear, whether it be through a relationship, whether it be through the loss of a loved one, whatever it may be that's negative in your life. And, you know, dealing with death, we all got to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to make you less of a person or less of a man, you know, to cry. You know, if you weren't meant to cry, then the good Lord wouldn't have gave you tears. So
absolutely.
People harp on that, and, you know, no matter what, at some times you're going to go through something at some point in your life that you're going to shed a tear. And then there's going to be those happy moments where you shed a tear.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make you less of anything.
Absolutely. And I couldn't have put it better, actually. And I just, you know, sometimes it's good to hear it from a man's point of view. Now I'm going to jump back into talking about, you know, the community and the youth. In everything that you do, and I barely touched on it earlier, I know that you have lots of ideas and things that, you know, what is a desire of Coach Doc concerning the youth? What is something that, you know, maybe somewhere that you want to see the youth go, something that you would love to put into, you know, put into effect where it can eventually manifest that you would love to see, you know, with the youth, concerning the youth in this community or even reaching abroad?
Yeah, I think at this point, I mean, for me, it's basically two major things. I think one, and it's pertaining to the youth, but to be able to see more positive males and more positive males get involved in the school system by going to mentoring, you know, at church, by taking part in programs, just being more visible and positive in the community. Because there's so many times you do an event and you go to the event and there's really no males out there. And, you know, that's disturbing. And, you know, the second part would just to be able, you know, to reach at least one kid. Because the truth of the matter is you're not going to reach everybody. But if you can reach at least one, and that one reach another one, and it continues to grow. But you got to commit to it. And if you're not committed to it, then don't do it. And it's just simple as that.
Truly. And I guess that ties into, you know, the same, you know, the same desire where you want to see that go. It can kind of tie into, you know, your desire for the community. Is it something that you would like to see built? Like, you know, we have, you know, the rec centers and everything. Is there something else that, you know, you feel that this community may need?
I think the community needs to take advantage of what they actually have. Because to be able to have what you do have is a blessing. And on top of that, when you got positive people, places who would do anything for the kids, you got to support them. You got to get involved. You got to be a part of it. Looking back on so many different programs. There's so many great programs with a lot of potential. It's a great program, and you're doing it. But guess what? No one shows up for it.
Wow.
You know, so it's tough in that aspect because there's so many great programs that take place. Nobody show up for them, and then you move on to something else. So, you know,
yeah,
you
and
have
I
to appreciate. Go ahead. You're fine?
Go ahead. No, go ahead. You go ahead.
So we have to appreciate what we have, and we got to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of times, you know, let's see, how would I word this? Not that there are those who don't even know that it's there, and then there's those who know that it's there, but they, you know, they just ignore that it's there. You know what I mean? Because you can know, and I don't know if it falls, for some people it may fall into pride or may not know how to go about certain things, but then, you know, there are some people who will be like, well, I know they offer this over here, but I ain't even going to bother with them, you know. But then,
right,
you know, like you were saying earlier, somebody has to break the cycle. And if you don't step up and move, then it's going to still be the same thing continuously, you know. And if you know this place has the service that you need, then why not go over and take advantage of the service that you need? Because if you need it, then it's obviously going to, you know, further you and further your children, then why not take advantage of it? But I believe that a lot of stuff, you know, along with, you know, cycles and everything, it becomes a part of our mindset. And our mindsets get stuck in, like, a certain mindset, and sometimes it's so hard to change that. You know, our mindsets get stuck in a certain way. You can never have more, or, you know, we're always going to be in this spot. And it's a mindset thing. And talking about mindset, when you're dealing with the youth, and you have a youth, I'll give, you know, an example. You have a young lady or a young man come in, and they've been their whole life, they've had, you know, all this negative, just all this stuff put in them. How do you begin? What is the first step? And see, that's, I think, because I work in the school system, but I deal with children on a whole different kind of level. And,
right,
you know, but with what you do, it's totally different. And how do you even begin to, you know, start processing to help them when, you know, it's stuck in their mind, you know, they have that mindset? What is, how do you even begin?
Right. I think, you know, the first step in any situation, you know, is to get their side and get them to open up and talk about what they're dealing with and what they're going through. Because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times, so many of us go through the same situations, whether it be having a parent on drugs or having a family members on drugs or addicted to alcohol. At some point, so many of us go through that same situation. So once they open up and let you know, hey, this is what I'm dealing with, this is what's going on, and you can say, hey, you know, I dealt with the same thing. There's a connection there. You know, things are always not going to be perfect. You can't control everything, but you can dictate what you do. You know, and don't allow your environment to dictate what you do, because we all go through bad things, and we all been through bad situations.
Yeah.
It's a fact of life, you know,
yes,
and it's how you deal with it. And, you know, the main thing is just listening to what they're saying, and then you share your point of view on what you've been through. And a lot of times that normally breaks the ice.
Yeah. And see, for me, that's why you do what you do and I do what I do. I love the you, but see, with me, I wouldn't even know. You know what I'm saying? I think I deal better with adults in that way, breaking the ice with adults and letting them know, hey, you know what, I went through this, and this, you know. The children on another level, because sometimes, you know, they have the attitude, and you know the attitude comes from somewhere. You know, you know something is causing it. It's just a matter of me having, you know, sitting down, and, you know what I mean? So that's why that's why you're Coach Doc and I'm Michelle G on the radio. I don't think that I can do it the way you handle it, because you have that, you know, you have that personality, you have that humbleness about you, and you know, some people were created to do certain things, and I believe that, you know, you were created to do that. Me, on the other hand, you know, because the snapping of the neck and all that, you know, I'm like, you know, that's how I can handle, you know, some of the adults, you have to handle that, you know.
Right.
Some of the adults, they still snapping their neck and stuff, but I can handle them a little bit better than, you know, than with a young person. So I think the hardest part for me would be even getting to that point to sit, you know, with the attitude and all that. So, you know, that's why you are blessed to do what you do. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. Now, coming from that, and has there ever been that one person, and I know that they all touch you in some way, and this is a twofold question, has there ever been that one person that, you know, you weren't able, because, you know, you can't reach everybody, but it's that one that stuck with you that you just wish that you could have just made that connection somewhere. That it just, you know, because like you said, you're not going to reach everybody, you know that. But there's always, for me, there's always that one person that I feel like, you know what, you know, why? You know, and it stays in your mind like, what could I have done differently for that one person? And on the flip side of that, is there this the one person that left an impact on you in a positive way? That makes sense?
You mean person as far as someone in my life, or just as far as the kids, you know, you deal with on a daily basis?
The first part of the question, the one that you, you know, couldn't reach, the take that from the aspect of the children that you deal with on a daily basis, and the other aspect, who did you run in your life that impacted your life so much that it just, you always reflect on that to keep you, you know, keep you going, keep you moving?
Well, I mean, that would go back to my, you know, my mother and grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just growing up and, you know, watching them always get up for work and actually walk to work, then walk back home. I never took vacations, didn't even know what that was, and never complained and always provided. So, you know, that will always stand out to me no matter what I go through. That would always be number one. As far as the kids, in a sense, each of them, you know, actually have a part of me or have reached and touched me. There's no one in particular because so many times, I guess when you've been doing it so long, you can see those kids that, okay, I know, in 4 or 5 years from now, hate to say it, but, you know, either someone's going to kill you or you're going to jail because you're not willing to change what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but it's the truth. And especially nowadays, you know, as the kids get older, there's so many things for them to do in a positive form. It's truly amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, so many tend to follow that negative activity and want to be around that negative crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
the ones like that, you know and you can tell. And it's just a matter of time.
I think that would be the hard part for me, because I still don't understand, but I guess I can relate it back to myself. I knew what was right even when I was growing up and I got out of my mother's house, and I was flocking to the wrong crowd. But something in me, from what my mother instilled in me, wouldn't let me get but so far. Every now and then it's like, okay, Shell, you need to hone this in. And I was like, okay, I got to go to, you know, I would know, I would be in the middle of the club and know, okay, you know what, Shell, you don't, you know, where I would usually stay out all night, it's like, it's time for you to go home. You need to go home tonight. You don't need to be here. You know, it was something that she had instilled in me ever since I was, you know, younger. And, you know, the kids, you know, I see them all the time. And like you say, they flock to those. They see this positive, but they flock to the negative.
right.
And
that's right.
I don't, for me, it's hard to understand. I was, for me, I was doing it because I was trying to cover up, and I guess it's the same thing for them. I was trying to, you know, cover up and deal with some pain from my childhood. And do you think that that's what it is for them? That they that's how they're dealing with their pain, or is just something that attracts them to that negative?
I mean, it probably is a little bit of both. But I think in most of the cases, mm-hmm. it's just something that attracts them to that, you know, that negative. And a prime example, I got met two new young kids today from the Carolina Forest area, and mm-hmm. we were talking, and you know, I was asked, okay, why do you smoke marijuana? So he looked at me, didn't say anything. So I said, do your best friend smoke marijuana? He said, yeah. I said, so you smoke because your best friend smoked. He kept looking at me, didn't say anything. I say, if you don't know why you smoke marijuana, what is that saying about you? If you're going to do something, mm-hmm. it's going to be done for a reason. And so he just looked at me, glossy eye, and, you know, didn't say anything. But so many of them just do it because other people are doing it.
Absolutely. It's that peer pressure. And sometimes it's not even peer, you know, not that the person is pressured them to do it. They're doing
right.
it. We hanging together so I can
fit
in here. I'm gonna do it, you know, and not realizing, you know, that, you know, that's not a good reason to do anything. And like you said, if you don't know why you're doing it, you know, and trust me, even when I was young and doing the things that I was doing, it took me years to realize why I was doing it. It was way in my adult years when I realized I did all that because of the pain that I couldn't deal with from my childhood.
Right.
But it took me all those, you know what I'm saying, it took me all those years. And I can't even imagine, like, you know, having a young mind who don't fully understand the world, you know, even coming to
right.
that kind of a, you know, a logical understanding. Something else that you said that stuck with me, and I don't know if it was the same way for you, my mom for a while when I was younger was a single mother. But you said, you know, you saw your grandmother and your mother get up and go to work, and they always provided. I never felt like I was poor or that we were in, you know what I mean? And because she always provided. I didn't have, you know, there was always food on the table. I always had clothes, you know, and you know, I never, you know, material things never really meant much to me because it wasn't like, you know, and it's so different today. Do you see the same thing? And when you were growing up, was it like that for you? It's like, you know, you know, my mama and my grandma, they provide. It was you know what I'm saying? Do you see how different it is today as far as like the material things? And is that
Go ahead, what do you think? The material stuff, social media, and you know, everybody want to have a pair of LeBrons and some Jordans, but you know, have no means of getting them. Because you don't have any Jordans, you know, don't mean you're any less of a person, you know, or a fancy shirt, you know, one from Walmart, one from Nike. Guess what? They're both made of cotton. You know, it's just the name. So.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's just elevated. And it's elevated in a sense nowadays because, you know, you have the TV and, you know, you have the YouTube and you have all the rappers on the videos with stuff that a lot of them don't even own or have. You know, so
yeah,
it's definitely a big difference. Because like you said, when we came up, we had, you know, you had shoes, you had something to eat. Your bills got, your mother, your grandmother, whoever, you know, paid the bills with less money and just always provided.
Exactly.
And, you know.
And I never went to bed hungry.
Right.
You know, and now it's like, well, I don't eat this and I don't eat that, and that's, you know, that's a whole nother. I'll get on my soapbox if I start talking about that, but it just boggles my mind, and a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about, I post these questions because I'm raising a teenage son, and
right.
he wants, you know, he does want the Jordans and everything, and I'm not, I can't see spending $200 and some on a pair of shoes when I have car note and mortgage.
That's right.
You
That's
know,
right.
And I got to have these because these are about to drop here. Why do you have to have them?
Right.
And there's no answer for that.
Right, right.
And I said, instead of you worrying about, you know, when you're buying this stuff, you're lining their pockets. Why not sit down and come up with your own design? Not like you don't have the, you know, capability. You know, instead of lining someone else's pocket, why not think about how you can create your own wealth, you know? But that's too much work. It seems like they don't want to work for anything.
Right, right.
They don't want, you know.
Then, you know, there's a lot of things that you're going to want, but what do you need? You know, so if I don't buy you these Nikes, if I buy you these Nikes and they're $200, now you can't eat for the next month. Which one do you want? You know, so I definitely understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, and it's just, and my son, just to be funny, he was like, well, I can always eat noodles. I'll take the Nikes. And he would say something like that and be logically thinking that he's making sense. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And I just, you know, and it just seems that, you know, in the society that we live in, society has so much influence on our youth and on the adults, you know, but it has a big impact on our youth, and it's important to have leaders like you that stand out and say, look, and bring the logic to them, like, look, you don't need this. This is what you need. Build this foundation. And so you will have, you know what I mean, when you will have when you get older. And if they build that foundation, like you're teaching them to build, you know, now at a young age, even when they get older and have the successful jobs and you know, and have their own businesses and all that, they'll know the value of, you know, of love and of family. And even then they won't spend thousands of dollars in clothes and all that. Because a lot of rich people who really, really have, they don't flaunt their money.
They have. Right, right, right.
You're right.
You're right.
But see, our youth don't get to see those people. They see, like you said, the rappers and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they don't realize that these billionaires, you may be standing beside one of them, but he's got on a pair of flip-flops and some ripped-up jeans and an old dirty T-shirt, and he's worth billions. Because if you have it, you don't feel the need to flaunt it.
That's right.
So I think that's another reason what you do is so important, because you're building, helping them build that foundation of what really is important: hard work, being honest, being integral, being a person of your word, whether it's woman or man. If you say it, you're going to do it. You know, those things matter, because when you get older and you get that future, you will then know, I don't have to go out and buy, you know, this million-dollar car.
That's right.
I'm good. I'll beat around in this car. It's driving. It's getting me from point A to point B, you know. And I think that makes what you do so important. It makes what it really does. And like I said, you know, for years I've seen you, you know, and you're consistent. And that means a lot, to be consistent. It's not like you started and then you just slacked off. You have been consistent over all these years. And I think Odarius was like, he was like 4 or 5 when he was going there, when he was him and Imani. And Imani were going there, and he's 16 now. So that's been like 11 years, and it's been consistent the whole time. If anything else, you've gained momentum to do even more. So I think that's why, you know, and that's why I wanted to at least once a month on my show, you know, focus on a community leader, because, you know, so that people can hear. You never know. The show is nationwide and it's heard all over, and you never know who may have what it is that you need to start a new program. You never know.
Right.
You never know. And I just feel that, you know, what you do is very important.
Appreciate it.
It's almost – oh, you're welcome. I'm just grateful, because I'm always grateful when someone, you know, agrees to be on the show, and I say it all the time, and I'll continue to say it. People don't have to say yes. And when they do, you should at least say thank you and be grateful, because they don't have to, because you're taking out your time to, you know, to share. And I really appreciate it. And it always humbles me when people say, yeah, sure, I'll do it. It always humbles me because, like I said, you don't have to. The hour's almost gone. So, and I don't want the conversation because it's a good conversation, because you're so knowledgeable about, you know. I want to ask one other question. Well, you know what? I think it kind of ties into everything that we've talked about. And I guess now would be a good time to sum it all up. Thinking about everything that you do, all the kids that you're reaching, you're trying to reach, even their parents, this will be the last question, then we'll sum it up. Do you find sometimes with the children that you deal with, do you also have to then it go from the youth, and then you have to also counsel and you know, with the parents as well, or does it just stop with the youth?
For me, you know, and you say community leader, I don't consider myself to be a community leader because I'm a community servant. And for me, it's about the kids. And that's the bottom line, you know. What we do is for the kids. You have parents. A lot of times, you know, they're positive in a sense. Sometimes you may have some that, you know, may be negative in certain aspects. But, you know, if your son is doing something positive or your daughter is doing something positive, you as a parent, how can you be negative? So, you know, the focus is the kids. And, you know, I know at the end of the night they have to still go back home. But at least if they have had something positive for the day, they can at least take that positive back home and hopefully, you know, share it with their parents. And, you know, unfortunately, in a lot of cases, when they do go home, you know, there's no sharing with the parents, you know, which happens. So main focus, you know, definitely the kids. And, that, you know, that's what it's all about. And most of the parents, they appreciate that. They have no issues with it, and they'll send them to you. So, you know, that's what it's all about. The big picture is the kids.
And I love, and it is on your bio, purpose in life to serve. And I like the way you put that, that you're a servant, because we, you know, we are here to serve. We all have a purpose, and when we live in our purpose, and we, you know, then we're serving. We're serving as, you know, when we're doing the purpose that we were put here to do. And like you said, you know, when you give them that positive when they're with you. And I say this all the time because I have to deal with some of the teachers that, you know, deal with some of my students and everything. And because I work in the special need area. And sometimes I have to break it down for them. And I have to let them know, you know, you don't know what happened before they got here. You don't know if they ate last night. You don't know if they had the, they were up all night because mom or dad was partying. You don't know. So don't yell at them because they don't have a pencil. When they're here, this may be the only safe haven they have for the seven some hours that they're at school. So make it as warm and as inviting and as safe as you possibly can. We can't control what goes on outside of here. But what's not going to happen is when they're here, don't yell at them because they didn't have a pencil today. They may not have eaten. They may be tired. Just give them a pencil out of the supply that you have and move on. You know? So I get what you're saying. That may be the only positive they have when they're in, you know, in your program, or they're at the rec center, when they're in, you know, when they're working with you. That may be the only positive that they have. And you're right. When you, you know, the adults may never, you know, some of them may change. That child may influence that adult to change. But if they don't, that child with their positivity can move on and make somebody else, you know, spread that positivity. And then it grows from there. That's why what you do is so important. It is almost time to close out, but what I want you to do, what I want you to do is before we close, I want you to give, you know, people time, you know, a place where they can find you, where they can follow you or whatever, but I also want you just to sum it up. If you have any advice for single parents, whether it be male or female, you have any advice for the youth, something that, you know, just a positive message that you, something to encourage and to inspire the listeners, what would you say?
Stay focused. You know, always work hard at everything you do, whether it's washing dishes or picking up paper. Count your blessings every day. You know, every situation can always be worse. Be thankful for what you have. Every day, you got something to be thankful about. Times and hard times, or how you deal with it. Either you can stay negative, or you can rise above it and stay positive. And that's
wow.
It. Nothing else, nothing more. You know, just that.
I love it. I love it because you just say it and that's it.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and you know how some people like to just, you know, make it seem so deep.
Right.
And you know, and it doesn't have to be deep. Just say
mm-hmm.
what you have to say, and you know, and you can reach more people that way. Because sometimes when you're so busy trying to be deep and using all these big words, people tune you out
mm-hmm.
in the beginning.
That's right.
Just say it.
Yep.
Just say it. You know, it has been such a pleasure talking to you. And even though I've known you in passing, I've never had a conversation with you. And I am more inspired by the conversation we had, just by listening to your outlook on life and your heart for our youth and what you're doing. I really appreciate it. And I want to say, you know, on air, continue to do what you're doing. You're a positive impact on people that you don't even realize you're a positive impact on. I'm an adult. I'm 45 years old. And just by having a conversation with you, you have inspired me to do more. You've changed my outlook on some things, even from reading your bio. That one thing that was in that bio, a lot of it stuck out. But that one thing made me realize, Michelle, you need to change how you speak because you're defeating your own self. Because you can't raise your son to be a man. You can raise your son to be stand up. Just by reading your bio, you have inspired me. And continue to do what you're doing, Coach Doc, because our youth need servants, and I'll use your terminology. Our youth need servants like you because you have a heart for them and you're not in it for gain. You just want to see them win. And I appreciate
you,
sir.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm going to go ahead and close out. You can stay on. I'm just going to close out real quick. Thank you all for listening to another episode of the Be Inspired with Michelle G Show. This has been an amazing show, great conversation, great inspiration and encouragement and motivation. I thank you all for always tuning in and being such devoted Be Inspired listeners. I really appreciate it. I thank my guest, Coach Doc Moore. He is such a great servant of the community, of our youth, and I ask that you all just tune in next Wednesday, same time, 6:30 to 7:30. Thank you all, and as I always say, good night and be blessed.